when we have issues and concerns, oftentimes we just go to God and say, God, help with this. But God doesn't want that type of relationship. He wants us to earnestly seek him in prayer. Some of the richest places that I've had with the Lord is in my prayer time with God. And Satan wants to work so, and he does, he's very crafty at getting us diverted, getting our attention to other places, convincing us that we don't have time to set aside, to spend with God in prayer, even convincing us that that's a burden, that's a task, that's something that I don't want one more thing on my back to weigh me down that I've got to try to do. But what we need to understand is that God desires to have fellowship with us. God desires for us to have that intimate time with him, not just talking to be talking and not really seeking communication, not fragmented prayer time, just hit and miss throughout the day, but genuine conversation connecting with him. And that's a special time with God. When we sense the presence of God in our midst and we're actually before him in prayer and we're enjoying that blessing that God is giving us through that communion of communication with him through prayer, that's rich. That's very rich. Continuing as we look in the book of Luke, we're going to look at Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to start with. And so what is your habit of communication with Jesus? Is it, I'm just going to talk off the cuff and just lay it all at your throne, or I'm going to give you fragmented prayer time, or am I going to give you solid prayer time? And so in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, it says, "Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Here's the scenario. Jesus comes to your house. Who? Jesus is at my house. And we better get a good meal on the table for him. We want to be good hosts. We want to be hospitable. We want to be focused. And we've got this work that needs to be done. So that was the heart of Martha. Is that a bad thing? No. It's not a bad thing. It's not something that, you know, sometimes I think Martha gets a real bad rap for wanting to serve Christ so diligently, right? In fact, there are a lot of people that are Marthas in our church that are, and that can go either gender, by the way. You know, we've got people that would rather be working and busy and doing as an act of service, as an act of love, as a way of expressing, again, their love for God and wanting to serve him. So that's not bad. And Jesus is telling Martha, hey, that's what you've chosen is not bad, but Mary has chosen the better part. And there's some instruction there for us. The instruction is that, hey, Mary's sitting at my feet. She's eating from what we call in the scripture the bread of life, Jesus. She's enjoying hearing the words that Jesus is giving her. She's listening to him, taking in his words, she's communicating with him, she's giving her undivided attention. I think that's why God placed this passage of scripture for us to know. He said, hey, stop being so busy that you cannot take time to listen to me, to my word, and have that communion with me. That's what God wants us to do. And yet, in our culture, in our lifestyles, it's almost just a spiritual task that's so difficult to have that time with God. And we need to have that time with him. He's telling Martha, you know, if you want, all I need, if you want to feed me, just give me a small plate of something to eat. It doesn't have to be fancy. It could be a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for all he cared. Right? Just give me something to eat if you want to, but don't make a big deal about it so that you can get to what's more important. I want you to be with me. And Mary's chosen that. She's chosen to sit at my feet, hear my words, communicate with me, and receive what I have. But of course, Martha was irritated. And I've got work to do and stuff to do, and nobody's helping. And I think that's wrong. And so I'm going to go ahead and vent about it. Lord, my sister's special. She should be helping me, and she's not. So tell her, that was pretty bold. Lord, tell her to get off her duff and help. It's basically what she was saying. And Jesus said, hey, your heart, you want to do what's good. And both of you have chosen what's good, but Mary's chosen what's better. See, serving God is good. Being busy for God is good. But what's better than serving God and being busy with God is spending time with God that's quality. That's what we need to do, because it's there that we begin to hear the things that God wants us to hear, that God begins to evaluate and to reveal the things that apply to our lives. But here's the thing. We're oftentimes afraid to approach God. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to approach Him. I don't know what I'm going to say. And even worse yet, I don't know what God's going to say to me. And if He does speak to me, I'm going to be scared to death possibly, or I'm not going to like what He's going to tell me. He might tell me, this is an area that I'm not pleased with. This is a thing that David talked about. And he said that his heart was, you know, fillet me, you know, just tear me wide open and examine me and try me. And if there be any wickedness in my heart, remove it. So there was a heart that said before God, I want to be right with You. I want to walk with You. I want to be intimate with You. But I know that sin interrupts that. So if there's any wickedness in me, identify it. Tell me what it is. I'm not afraid to hear what You've got to say. And then remove it from me. He relied on the power of God to remove it. See, that's what we need to be willing. Lord, I know You love me. I know that You're not against me, that You're for me. I know that we're Your children, the apple of Your eye. I know that You're our Heavenly Father, our Abba in heaven. And in that, I know that anything You tell me is for my good, whether it's comfortable or not. But I will tell you this, that when we commune with God and we know that we've met with Him, there's a sense that we're on holy ground and that we're actually communing with God, our heavenly Creator. That there's a humbling and there's an excitement all at the same time. I'm actually before God in prayer, and I know it because His presence is just so obvious to me. And He's talking to me. And I know what He's doing. I know what He's saying. I mean, how rich is that? To have a relationship with God, Almighty, on His throne, in heaven, that communicates with us in a way that's loving and clear and for our best, for His glory. Wow. Talk about having a line that's a great line to heaven. We have that. And we don't use it as often as we ought to. As often as we ought to. And so, in your bulletin, there's an insert that says, it is better to be occupied with Jesus than to be occupied for Jesus. Wow, what a statement. Dr. David Jeremiah stated that. Let me read that again. It is better to be occupied with Jesus than to be occupied for Jesus. Both are okay. Both are good. Okay? But it's better to be occupied with Jesus than for Him. Why? Because in that is where we find our most intimate time with God, and our relationship grows stronger, our faith in Him becomes more evident, and we are that much more equipped to have the confidence and the boldness to be His people, because we meet with God our Father. And He reveals Himself to us as we yield to Him with a genuine heart. So praise God for that. Praise God. Second thing I want us to look at is, what is the best way to communicate with Jesus? Or we kind of touched that on that. But I've heard people say, and maybe you've said it yourself, I don't know how to pray to Jesus. I don't know what I'm going to say. I know what's on my heart. I know what my burdens are. I know my frustrations are. But I'm not even sure that I can communicate that effectively to God. In fact, when I get in prayer before God, it just seems awkward and left-sided, and I just don't know what to do. But God knows our heart. He knows that we are frail human beings, that we're made of the dust of the earth, if you will. And in that, God has given us a directive on how to pray. And in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, we have what most people call the Lord's Prayer. And our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our sins, and we forgive those that sin against us, and lead us not into temptation, for Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So, with that prayer has become, in some places, in some realities, simply a cool prayer to pray that's repetitious. God never intended this prayer to be repetitious, and oftentimes it's referred to, like I said, as the Lord's Prayer. But you know what? This is not the Lord's Prayer. This is the disciples' prayer. This is the instruction that God gave to his disciples, which includes you and I as followers and learners of Christ. This is how God has he's actually outlined a plan for us on how to pray to God. Now, I don't mean to sound repetitive, but how cool is that? That God himself would take the time to say, okay, I hear you. You've asked me, we're seeing the text, you've asked me to teach you how to pray. Well, here's how you do it. Well, how? This is an outline for prayer that covers every single area of our lives. And if we learn to pray that prayer and use it as a guideline in our prayer life, we're going to have more effective prayer that will change our hearts and lives, and that God will change us to be more effective for him. And so let's look at that. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And by the way, in John chapter 17 was the Lord's Prayer, when he prayed to the Father, which is interesting. But the request was that Jesus would teach them how to pray. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What type of outline do you see in that? The first thing that we're doing is we're acknowledging our Heavenly Father. And I think that's important in our prayer time to remember that when the phone rings, you don't go, oh yeah, bring some spaghetti too while you're adding some sauce. Hey, you got any black olives or some Parmesan cheese? Okay, thank you. You haven't even addressed the person. We usually say hello. Oh, this is Robert. Hey, Robert, how you doing? You coming up there? Yeah, hey, you got any of this? And you go on. You acknowledge who the person is. When we go to the Lord in prayer, it's not just saying, Lord, and therefore we've acknowledged him. It's going to God in prayer saying, Lord, I thank you for being God. I thank you for being my Savior. I thank you for being my Redeemer. I'm so thankful that you have given me eternal life. I'm thankful that you are holy, for if you are holy, then you're like that solid rock that I can stand on because you're truth, and I can stand on you. I can rely on you. I can depend upon you. You will not fail me as I rely on you. See, that's acknowledging who he is. He's holy, without blemish, without any error in his holy ways, and we can rely on him. You know, make us holy. Help us to have a pure heart as you are, because you've commanded us that be ye holy as your Father is holy. And that's what God wants us to do. We can only do that through Christ, but acknowledge him. And that's what that means by saying hallowed. That means holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Well, that's a cue for us. Your kingdom is... What is God's kingdom? When Jesus stood before Pilate, he said, my kingdom is not like what you think it is. My kingdom is made up of believers in him. All that put their faith in Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Those are the ones that make up the kingdom of God. It's not that there's the palace and the king sits there. Although one day we will have this wonderful presence of God during the millennial reign on earth. But when we talk to God and you see that phrase, your kingdom come, what should we be praying for? Like I was saying to Don, said, do you have concerns about your service? Do you talk to God about your service in the church? Do you talk to God about the ministries in the church, or concerns you have in the church, or concerns for your kingdom work in general? That's something God wants us to be concerned about. And when we talk to God about this, that should stir something in our own spirit that says, you know what, the things of God, the kingdom of God, I'm called to be that vessel that God wants to use for him and his kingdom work. And it should solidify that to where it doesn't become a burden, doesn't become something, I don't want to hear that again. It becomes a joy. It becomes something that I'm excited about doing what God wants me to do. I'm excited about being that God has led me through prayer and by the prompting of the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to serve in this capacity. When God says, I want you to do this or that, first thing is, wait a minute. This is scary. But see, we can pray for the work, God's kingdom work. And so when your kingdom comes, that's future as well. And we can look at that. And so it gives an outline. Your will be done. Hey, Lord, these are my concerns. Your will be done. I want to follow you and your will, not me and my will. I don't want to take the reins in my life, but I want to lose my life that I might find the life that you intend for me to have. 1 John teaches us that. If we keep our life, we'll lose it. If we lose our life for him, we shall find it. Colossians says that. For you died. I mean, dying to our own self, and your life is hidden within Christ. If we die to ourselves and follow Christ, then God will, if we're putting him as that top priority, then God will reveal what he has predetermined, what he wants us to be in him. And so your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hey, you know, Lord, I'm so thankful that angels are in heaven today worshiping you, that my loved ones are that knew you, that passed on, are with you in heaven today, that I'm going to be there too one day. My relatives that are in heaven or my friends that are in heaven, out of the blue, their name will pop up to me and I go, Lord, tell them I love them today. Tell them happy birthday. Tell them, hey, I miss them. Why can't we do that? We have the Holy Spirit that lives within us. God's on his throne in heaven. So why can't we go through Jesus and say, Lord, who you're our mediator, tell so-and-so, please, that I love them. Your will be done on heaven and earth. You're in control, Lord. You're sovereign, God. Let your will be done here today in my life and forevermore. And then he goes on and he says, give us day by day our daily bread. Now we can say the daily bread is the word of God, for God is the bread of life. We can say day by day, that means that we're to be in God's word so we can be fed spiritually. That's a priority, that we truly are fed spiritually as we take in the word. You know what? If we don't see people loving the word of God, desiring the word of God, hungry for the word of God, and when I say people, believers in Christ, they are missing out because what's happening is that they have taken back their life and they're not interested in what God has to say. But if they're hungry for God's word and they want to hear what God has to say, because God speaks through his word to us. God speaks by his spirit. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through other people. And when we're attuned to that and we're listening to that and we're close to God through prayer, throughout the day, but also in those intimate times of prayer, we become more aware of what God is telling us to do. But there's the other inference. Lord, thank you for the food that you give me every day. Thank you for meeting my needs, not just food. Give us this day our daily bread, the word of God, our emotional or physical or spiritual needs. All sorts of things like that. And we can go off that cue. Forgive us our sins. How many of us enjoy going to God and say, God, boy, I sinned here. And I'm so sorry. You know, sin can come up like a quick snake behind us. And before we even know it, we've sinned. There are times when it just trips us up and we go, oh, we're caught off guard. But there are other times when we see the sin and we're tempted. And we already conclude in our own spirit, hey, I'm going to do that. I'm going to play the game like I'm wrestling against temptation, but I've already made my mind up that I want that. And so we go ahead and do it. See, but how grievous is that in our spirit, even listening to that explanation here? So we go to God in prayer, we're feeling really guilty. Lord, I knew it was wrong, I see it was wrong. But then we get on our knees and we genuinely ask God's forgiveness, repenting of that, and say, God, I'm so sorry. And our Heavenly Father has a warmth about him that says, I forgive you. I love you. I understand you. And that mercy and that grace that he gives us just helps us to love him even more. But then it leads on from that we're to forgive others. See how God deals with us and His mercy and His forgiveness and His grace. Have there been times you've gone to God in prayer and said, God, forgive me for this? And you're expecting Him to just kind of not give you the relief of guilt as quickly as you figure, I'm going to let you squirm. God's going to say, I'm going to let you squirm a little bit because you deserve to squirm. And all of a sudden, you, when you're praying that prayer, you just have this sense of release and peace from God. I forgive you. And it's done. And you know it. And you move on. Not taking advantage of them, but you just move on. But because we have those experiences with God, guess what? We're to practice them with our relationships with other people. When people do us wrong, as believers, we better be forgiving as God intends for us to do. Trusting that God will take care of the wrong that's been done, but forgiving. Being merciful. You know, what's mercy? Mercy is giving to people what they don't deserve. That's mercy. You and I don't deserve God's grace, His blessings, or His forgiveness, but He still gives it to us, or His love. And so we need to be careful to do that for others, because if we don't, then God will not be quick to clear our guilty conscience when we go to Him in prayer on a regular basis. If we become arrogant and self-confident and I don't care about forgiving you and I'm not going to show mercy and I'm not going to be loving as God intends us to be, then guess what? He's going to hold back those things from us. He's not going to be as ready to give that to us. So we need to be careful. So forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us or sins against us. And do not lead us into temptation. God doesn't lead us to temptation. This is a translation issue. God does not tempt us, Scripture says. God does not tempt us. He may allow us to go through trial, but He never tempts us to do evil. What this is really saying is, God, deliver me, protect me from going that direction that I know is against you. That's what He's saying. Don't let me go in that direction. So when we're in prayer before God with this outline, do we not know our weaknesses in our walk with God? Do we not know where we're easily tempted? Do we not know where we have fallen the most in our walk with Jesus? Then we can say, God, help me with this, not to yield that to that. Help me to have the grace and the power and the love for you that will lead me away from the temptation. And so we begin to pray about our temptations. What's that? What does that do for us? That helps us to become more spiritually minded about our relationship with God. All these things do. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So, Jesus teaches us 10 things for prayer. One, acknowledge your Heavenly Father. Realize that prayer is about a relationship. Acknowledge your Heavenly Father and realize that prayer is about a heavenly relationship. We are to have a relationship with Jesus. And I can't have a relationship if I'm just talking to myself. I can't have a relationship that's really intimate if I'm just fragmenting quick prayers to God through the day. I've got to have time to spend with Him and Him with me. Know that His character is holy and trustworthy. We are to recognize that as God is holy and we're humbled to be in His presence as His children, that He challenges us and compels us to be holy in Him. That means to have a clear conscience before God. That means to walk in His ways, not our own. Learn to focus on future promises. Hey, you know what? The hardship I'm going through right now isn't going to last forever. Hey, you know what? This is my spiritual boot camp. God is shaping me and making me and preparing me for what He has for eternity for me. Some will say, well, I don't believe that. Well, we need to believe that, because how we're faithful here will determine how God uses us in eternity in His kingdom. And it's a viable, real, tangible kingdom. Whether it be the millennial reign on earth after the great tribulation period, or whether it be when He creates the new heavens and the new earth, which sounds so mythological to us, but it's still the truth of God's word. And we'll be with Him. And God will use us as we're willing to be faithful to him here. Trust God's sovereign will. God is in control. Trust that he is sovereign. Trust that nothing is too big for him to take care of. Trust that he has a specific plan for your life. Trust God's will for you on earth and in heaven. I'm going to follow you, Lord, as best I can through you here on earth, and I am going to trust you with the promises you've given us for heaven. You know, we think about heaven going from here to there, but there will not always be there. God comes down and dwells on earth in the millennial reign, and we're going to be with him, and we're going to reign with him as we are faithful to him. Know that God will provide all your needs daily. I can trust God with my needs. Are there times when your needs are beyond you? You know, you have a financial need. You don't know how you're going to meet that debt. You have needs and you have the finance. You don't have the finances. Lord, I need to buy new shoes. I remember years ago that when I first came to California, I was serving as an associate pastor, that I said, Lord, at that time where I was going to church, they expected you to dress to the hilt, meaning, you know, you wear your suits and even a three-piece suit with your vest. And I had a gold pocket watch with a chain that went down, and I had my vest and my jacket and my polished shoes, and it was decked out time. I said, God, I need a new suit because my suit, because I perspire so much, the stupid thing is deteriorating on the inside. So I need some suits, but I don't have any money. I'm eating rice and pinto beans and eggs and sun tea and green beans, and that is my diet. I can't afford anything else. So I'm working at this furniture store, and as I'm working at the furniture store, my boss, who's filthy rich, millionaire, he backs his station wagon up to the dumpster, and he unloads about 6 or 8, I can't remember, three-piece suits that are in excellent condition, throws them in the dumpster. So I went to my boss and said, do you mind if I get this out of the dumpster? He goes, no, I don't care. So on my break, I went to the dumpster, and I wouldn't you know it, when he threw it in, the dumpster was empty. You know how hard it is to get something out of the dumpster when it's empty? Maybe you don't. It was on a two-sided busy street. I'm not kidding you. Here's the side of the dumpster. My feet were like this, balancing me, and clothes were flying out, and I was praising God all at the same time. Took them down, had them dry clean. They fit perfectly, and I used them for years. So God can provide our needs in ways that we don't expect. But know that God will provide all your needs daily. Seek God's forgiveness for daily sin. So imperative, because it teaches us to walk carefully with him. In fact, an unspotted conscience is empowering. When we know that our conscience is clear before God, it gives us boldness and courage. Be quick to forgive and show mercy to others as he does for us. Be honest about your temptations. Lord, protect us from sin. And seek God to help you have victory over temptation. That's a guideline. I challenge you this morning to consider using that guideline in your prayer time. It might be a little awkward at first. You might look at the list, or you might go, okay, next thing to pray for. Next thing. But eventually you're memorize that, and you go, okay, I know where I'm going in my prayer. And you're fine. I go along each outline in my prayer time, and I'll go, Lord, do you mind if I go back to those needs again? And he's gracious about that, but you just continue to pray. What do we gain by prayerful communication with God? Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. When we take the time to be still with God, we meet with God and we glorify God. We praise God. That's what's so important. When God cannot be found in the midst of the frenzy, silence and stillness are needed to hear him, so that his children may know he is present and has a plan for the future. Dr. David Jeremiah. Wow. Wow. When God cannot be found in the midst of the frenzy, silence and stillness are needed to hear him, so that his children may know he is present and has a plan for the future. The last thing we should be doing as Christians is just kind of spinning around and hoping life will come together. Because God didn't intend it that way. He expects us to walk in step with him and her unveil before us his plans as he prepares us for them. So let go of the chaos and recognize him as God. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me. I love this passage. Call to me and I will answer you. That's a promise. Call to God and he will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. You want to discover what plans and purposes God has for your life? Is that a priority for you? Is that a desire for you? Then call to him. Talk to him. Listen to him. And he will reveal plans that you did not know. You know what that means? In your wildest dream of your biggest goals in life, God's plan for you is far bigger than you ever thought possible. That's pretty big. I got great aspirations, great desires, I got great plans, but God's plans are greater and bigger and more wondrous than we ever thought possible. So let me say this, what a wonderful blessing comes from communication with God to know great and mighty things. So, ending this message, take time from our busy schedules to pray as Jesus taught us, so that we may be more aware of God and his plans for us. We got to be on a journey that's following Jesus, and the only way we can do that is spending time with him. And when we do, we'll discover things that we never thought possible. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for each one here. I thank you, Father, for your words. I thank you, Father, for giving us the outline of how to pray. That covers every area of our life. And I praise you for that. I ask, Father, please, that you will help us. Help each person here to remember this and to really, really honestly look at the outline and say, Lord, I want to try this. I want to try to apply this to my personal prayer time with you. And I pray that you will bless it and encourage me to continue to do so. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.